Paying off debt is always a good thing, but paying it off before retirement is one of the best financial moves you'll ever make. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's a disturbing trend. More people than ever are retiring with debt. That reduces their lifestyle choices and increases the likelihood they'll have to return to work at some point. Today, we'll talk about carrying debt into retirement and how you can avoid it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so the latest numbers on this aren't good. According to the Federal Reserve's 2022 Survey of Consumer Finances, the percentage of folks 65 to 74 with debt rose to 65%. When the Fed began tracking this statistic 35 years ago, only 50% of people that age were in debt. Debt will certainly crimp your lifestyle in retirement. And for many people, it could mean having to go back to work at some point. Proverbs 22:7 warns, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." A recent report by T. Rowe Price showed that 20% of people who previously retired are back working full or part-time. Another 7% of retirees said they're actively looking for work. The major reason, of course, is the need for more income. The rapid rise in inflation over the past few years caught many retirees off guard. On average, things are around 15% more expensive today than they were just 3 years ago. Many retirement budgets, especially those that include debt, are stretched to uncomfortable levels. Now, what can you do about it? Well, obviously, you don't want to carry debt into retirement if you can avoid it. If you're 5, 10, or 15 years away from retirement, set a goal of having all your debts paid by the time you retire. If you can eliminate a mortgage, car payment, or other debt, you can live on less. Having a financial margin, especially in retirement, is critical. Debt hems you in, especially when the economy slows down and the stock market declines. Note the word "when," because the economy moves in cycles. You have to prepare for the downturns that will inevitably come. Now, how can you make your goal of retiring debt-free a reality? Well, first, think about ways to get more margin in your budget. Start with cutting expenses. Do a budget overhaul and get rid of things you're just paying out of habit. You can also increase your income. Can you get some work on the side? Think of increasing your income and decreasing expenses as a kind of a 1-2 punch to knock out debt that much faster. Now, there's one really big move you can make, literally. You can downsize to a smaller house. Whether you have a mortgage or not, this can be a lifesaver, especially if you're still paying off your house. If you can downsize enough, you may have sufficient equity to pay off your existing mortgage and purchase a smaller home with cash only, or at least a much smaller mortgage. Moving to a smaller home will lower other expenses like property taxes and maintenance costs. If downsizing isn't an option, do what you can to speed up your mortgage payments. We've talked about increasing your income and lowering expenses. Use that margin to put extra on your mortgage principal. That will reduce the interest you'll have to pay. Making just one extra payment a year can shave off several years of payments over the life of the loan. Now, what about credit card debt? Well, inflation also rears its ugly head there because credit card interest rates go up right along with inflation. If you have credit card debt, you have to make more than the minimum monthly payments. Put extra money on the card with the smallest balance. When that's paid off, go on to the next. That's called the snowball method, and studies show it's the strategy most likely to succeed. We recommend that you not tap into your home's equity to pay off consumer debt. For one thing, it converts unsecured debt to secured debt, and if you fail to make the payments, you could lose your home. Also, if you haven't corrected the behavior that led to the credit card debt, paying it off with a home equity loan may simply increase your debt problem. If you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, contact our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. They'll put you on a debt management plan to help you pay off your debt 80% faster than going it alone. Do you know one call that we've never gotten here at FaithFi? It's from the person who paid off their consumer debt or their mortgage and regretted it. We just never get that call. So if you make a plan to get out of debt before you retire, you'll greatly improve your chances of staying retired, and that means you'll have more time and resources to give back to God's kingdom. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
It's hard to believe, but spring officially arrives this month. Time often slips by faster than expected, and the same could be said for seasons of life. So the important question is, how are we using the time God has given us? That's a challenge the Apostle Paul makes to us in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. He says, "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." It's easy to get complacent, or even make excuses because some things are out of our control, and yet nothing is out of God's control. Every single day is an opportunity to live for His glory. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
When we accept the grace of God, He takes the shackles off of us. We were once enslaved to sin, but now through the grace of God, He takes those shackles away. He redeems us. He buys us out of the slave market of sin, and He takes us home to heaven.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Captured by Grace, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Delighted you're along with us today. Here's our goal. We want to help you find God's heart as it relates to your role as a steward of His resources. We do that as we gather together each day on this broadcast and tackle your specific money questions, but all with the backdrop of a biblical worldview. When you call 800-525-7000, you can get in the queue today. We'd love to tackle your very specific question, whether you're wrestling with, maybe it's your spending plan, just trying to stay on budget. We realize that's harder than ever now. Perhaps you're thinking about wealth transfer and how to invest for the future, but also how to select that next steward and prepare the next steward. That's a big idea. Maybe it's something as simple, it doesn't seem simple, and often it's not, but getting that credit score up, you know, that can be really challenging, especially if you've had some financial challenges in your past. Maybe it's paying down debt. Whatever it is in your financial life today, we'd love to tackle those questions. Our team is standing by. We're ready to take your calls. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, an interesting item about a town that's not giving up. Listen to this. Back in the 1800s, immigrants were offered free land in the Midwest as an incentive to move to America. Something reminiscent of that is happening in the tiny town of, okay, you ready for this? Nahodisha, Kansas, population 2,100. A former oil town, Nahodisha, has struggled with a decline in drilling in the region, a dwindling population, and rundown in housing. But now the town is offering some very attractive incentives for folks to move there in the hope of jumpstarting the town's economy. The town is offering to waive state income tax for 2 years, assist in student loan repayment, and provide free college tuition to folks who move there. Turns out that the city is not alone. Other communities across the country are providing cash incentives and voucher programs for people willing to relocate. With the increase of work from home opportunities in the private sector, moving to a new town, even one out on the prairie, is easier to do these days. So if you don't like where you're currently living, well, this Nahodisha may be the place for you to check out. Again, it's out in Kansas. Just an interesting tidbit we found in the news today. Thought you might enjoy that anecdote. We're going to take your questions here in just a moment. Also today, look forward to catching up with Bob Dahl. A lot moving the markets today. Going to be interesting. Obviously, a big week related to just starting a new trading month here in March. Obviously, economic and tariff worries are swirling and weighing on the markets. They are starting lower today, although modest. Bitcoin is obviously front and center. We'll get Bob's take on that. The announcement over the weekend about a strategic reserve here in the U.S. from President Trump involving crypto. He made that announcement just in the last couple of days, and Bitcoin has jumped nearly $14,000 in 3 days on the announcement. We'll get Bob's take there. I will tell you, just a preview of coming attractions, we need to be careful when it comes to investing in highly speculative, highly volatile investments, and that would certainly include the crypto space. I don't think this is going anywhere. The blockchain technology that drives it has far-reaching implications for our economy. And, you know, you're going to see that, I think, you know, indefinitely. And it's not just about currency. It really is about a whole host of industries that can benefit from that decentralized and secure and anonymous technology that pulls together this decentralized network of computers securely. And so, you know, everything from healthcare to a growing number of industries that will be impacted by it. But with that said, the investment in cryptocurrency, built on that blockchain technology, these are, you know, highly speculative investments. And I think what you're seeing right now, just given, you know, the fact that the regulators are still wading into how are we going to approach this. And we saw a completely different approach from the Biden administration. President Trump is embracing it, even though he's been very clear to say, I do not want and will not allow a central bank digital currency, essentially a digital dollar, where there would be far too much control given to the Treasury to oversee all of your spending and have visibility into it. That's different than the cryptocurrency space, which is, of course, optional. But just given the speculative nature, so much of this is still to be determined with regard to how regulators are going to handle it. We got another peek behind the curtain over the weekend, but there's still a lot that has been undecided here in the U.S. and around the world. We still have some of these cryptocurrency exchanges failing. Now, the big kind of granddaddy of them all, even though that's relative because this space isn't that old, is in fact Bitcoin. And but even then, you know, you can see what kind of volatility we're having here. And, you know, when we go into God's word and we look at investing, we see that the big idea behind investing, according to God's word, in terms of the principles we would apply, would be more like steady plodding, slow and steady over time, so that we can, enjoy that long-term perspective, not have the gambling aspect to it. It really is about investing in and becoming an owner in a company providing a good or a service. And that's a part of God's design. Remember, the whole purpose for investment is to fund capital to business. going all the way back to the maritime trade, you know, when the first investments happened in some of those shipping companies. And now today we have the opportunity, even through fractional investments, to have a very small ownership with a very little amount of money, but in a real company with real sales and earnings. And you are a part owner of that. And that's what really spills over not only into why we invest and thinking about this not as something that's speculative, but something that is really, you know, genuinely for the overall stewardship of the capital so we can grow it and allow it to expand and, you know, generate income so we can use it to provide and give and so forth. But also, I think, kind of, you know, right alongside that is this idea of what companies am I investing in? And that's where we've seen the really the explosion, I would say, of the faith-based investing space. Now, it's still relatively small. In fact, it's very small versus how much is out there in the markets and even how much is in the hands of Christians. We're just at a drop in the bucket, maybe 0.25% of the overall investment capital that's available. But what's exciting is that it's growing rapidly. And with the new investment options that are out there and, you know, with, you know, the quality of these investments, many of them being award winning, it really is a new day with regard to how you can take capital and deploy it for God's glory and being invested in companies that, first of all, are not violating your conscience because they're misaligned with biblical values, getting those out of the portfolio. But some of the really exciting new developments in faith-based investing are around what you're including because they're promoting human flourishing or they're solving one of the world's greatest problems or, you know, they're you know, blessing their constituents, their stakeholders, whether it's their employer, to the employees, the supply chain, the vendors, the customers, even the environment in which and the community in which that company is operating. So it's a whole space that's growing. If you haven't looked into it, talk to your advisor about it. And if you don't have an advisor, you can connect with a certified Kingdom advisor on our website. And you can even say, only show me the CKAs who do faith-based investing. That's faithfi.com. All right, we're going to dive into your questions after the break. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
A phenomenon of new media is the proliferation of streaming. There are many, many streaming channels, and believe it or not all of them are providing wholesome content. For that, you can visit stream.afa.net. There you'll find Christian-based lessons and sermons, as well as original movies from American Family Studios. You'll also find video versions of some of your favorite AFR programs. Media has changed, but there's still good stuff available. Find it at stream.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
American Family Association would like to thank everyone who participated in our Target boycott. AFA declared the boycott when Target announced it would allow men into women's dressing rooms and restrooms. Since the start of the boycott, Target lost over $2 billion in stock value. They've scaled back LGBT Pride Month products and added single-occupancy restrooms. Other corporations also reconsidered their policies in light of the Target boycott. Since it served its purpose, AFA has officially ended our Target boycott.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're ready to take your questions today. So what's on your mind financially? Did you have something you were debating with your brother-in-law over the weekend, or maybe just something you haven't been able to wrestle to the ground in your own life or mind? Maybe you've been talking about a financial decision with your spouse and you just can't get on the same page. Well, we'd love to help you with whatever you're considering in your financial life today. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin today in Mississippi. David, I'm so glad you called today. How can I help you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I had a question about credit cards and, okay, and paying those off. And it seems that when I paid my credit cards off, my credit score goes way down for some reason. And I don't know if that's going to change as I show a zero balance in the future or what.
Yes. Well, you point out a great point here that you do see a decline in credit scores when you close a card. It's primarily because of a few reasons, and it all goes back to the algorithm that generates your score. And we know at a high level what the categories are that ultimately drives that score. And the biggest one is what's called credit utilization. So credit utilization is 35% of your score, and that term speaks to the percentage of your available credit. Okay, so if your limit is 1,000 and you've got a balance of 300, you've got 30% credit utilization. Okay, now when you close a credit card, you lose that available credit, making any balances you're carrying on other cards a higher percentage of the overall limit or overall credit that's available to you. Okay, so I think, you know, that's the first issue, is just looking at what kind of balances am I carrying, and is that now going to push that percentage up? And if it pushes it up over 30%, then that's where it's really going to start to bring your score down. So let me just stop there and ask, are you carrying any balances month to month, or are you paying everything off, you know, before the due date?
So until just recently, I've had a almost maxed out credit, you know, credit cards.
Yeah.
And so here recently, I've just been, and I've been paying a month to month, just every month I pay the minimum, and so this isn't going anywhere. So I just ended up just saving up and just paying them off. And I still have the credit cards open, but they have a zero balance. And then when I look on the Credit Karma, you know, it said, well, your point went down, you know, 39 points because your credit, your balance on this credit card went down.
I got it. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if, you know, that's just kind of an initial hit, and then eventually, you know, that will correct itself in the future and go back up.
Yeah, it's a good question. So maybe I misunderstood. So you're talking about the credit score declining because you paid it down, not necessarily because you closed it. Is that right?
Right. I haven't closed it. They're still there.
Okay.
Still have.
Yeah. So that's a different issue. So first of all, you did a great thing. There's no reason to ever pay any interest when you don't have to. So I would say absolutely pay them in full. I would probably go ahead and leave them open for the reasons that I mentioned. The second reason I was going to get to was that it changes your credit history. And so by closing an account, it can be removed from your credit history, which means you have less history, which in the eyes of the credit score is not a good thing. So that's why you'd want to keep them open. So it's probably just because it changed the credit mix, the amount of, if you stop using your credit cards or you pay it off, score could dip because credit activity is lower. So that would be one issue. It could just be, a very temporary thing that has to do with the reporting, the timing of it. But the idea that you've lowered your credit utilization and you've kept that account open is generally a good thing. And so I wouldn't worry about it. That 17-point hit is going to come right back up, and you absolutely did the right thing. So I would say if you check it again in another 30 days, I think you're going to be right back where it was. Now, if you stop using those cards and therefore you have less now recurring activity, then that could unfortunately penalize you. And so the way around that is what I would say is use the cards for maybe there's a budgeted recurring charge that you have, a subscription to something or, something that you're planning to spend money on. Go ahead and put that as an auto charge on that credit card and then just pay it off, every month. And that small charge is just going to keep that account active and show you as an on-time payer month to month. And that will be a good thing because it'll be good current activity, on-time payments, and low credit utilization, which will all reward you over the long haul.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. So that was a good financial move. That drop is temporary. If you just continue to maintain, good active credit habits, you're going to be rewarded for that, and that will maximize your score. And listen, at the end of the day, that score moving around, even 50 points up or down, doesn't really matter unless you're out there, getting ready to buy a house or a car and you're trying to get up above a certain threshold to qualify for the very best terms and rates. Apart from that, it really doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter. Yeah, I guess that my thinking was just in case an emergency happened and I needed to have some out, and I had a good credit score to back it up. So
That's very wise. Hey, last thing I'll add is if you haven't done this recently, I'd go to Annual Credit Report and just pull your three credit files. That's the government website. It's free. There's no hit to your credit when you do it. But I would just look and make sure there's not any erroneous or inaccurate information that's driving these scores down. Probably not, but worth a check. AnnualCreditReport.com. Pull all three bureaus' reports, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. Thanks for your call, David. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
What they did wrong was self-inflicted, because she was chosen as Biden's vice president because she was a woman of color. Dead last among Democrats in the primary, and you pick her to be your VP. And then the other mistake was, I mentioned not picking the governor of Pennsylvania to be her running mate. Their own forced ideology put them behind the eight ball, so to speak, which is a ball of color.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
The American Family Association, informing, equipping, and activating to transform American culture.
After the resurrection, when Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth, he commissions his disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded them.
We at the American Family Association seek to aid the church in our great commission.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got just a few lines open. We're taking your calls and questions. That number, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Coming up in our final segment today, Bob Dahl will stop by. Bob will update us on the markets. We'll get his take on President Trump's announcement over the weekend related to a crypto reserve here in the United States and how that's moving Bitcoin in particular, not to mention the others, but also just an overall sense of the economy. You know, Bob makes the point the U.S. economy could be in a lose-lose scenario, growth slowing below trend, which increases unemployment, but reaccelerating growth would be inflationary. And so, you know, we've got these two things at odds with one another. Neither of them are good. And how does all of that play out? Well, we'll get Bob's take on that, as well as the tariffs. Canada and Mexico export 20 and 30% respectively of their GDPs to the U.S., and they stand to suffer the most from the impending tariffs. President Trump has threatened 25% tariffs. That could cut 8% off of Mexico's GDP, 5% off of Canada's. What will that do here in the U.S.? Well, we'll get Bob's take on that as well. All that's coming straight ahead. In the meantime, taking your calls and questions today, let's go to Louisiana. Hi, Teresa. How can I help?
Morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
So my husband and I have been approached by someone to buy our business. Okay. And we've owned it for about 14 years. We didn't pay a lot when we first bought it. And my question is, if we do sell it, they're offering us a really good price on it, but we don't really want to get caught where we have to pay a lot of taxes on the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we know we can invest some, put some of it back in, like, I think it's $7,000 each into a, you know, IRA.
Yes. Yeah. So I would talk to your tax preparer about that just because you are going to have a capital gain on that. Now, there are a couple of ways to structure it that could help to reduce the overall taxes because you could, in effect, spread the capital gain out over multiple years. So the first would be an installment sale. So instead of receiving the full payment up front, you agreed to be paid over several years. So that would allow you to spread the capital gain across multiple tax years and potentially keep you in a lower tax bracket, lower capital gain tax bracket, because you only pay the taxes on the portion of the gain received each year rather than all at once. Now, what's the risk in that? Well, the risk is, you know, the buyer situation could change. And if they defaulted, obviously you'd lose future payments. And that's a pretty big risk. So you just need to know that. I mean, obviously, if they've got the funds available at closing, you know you're made whole, even though you've got to recognize it all at once. The second would have a similar risk, but it would be, but it would also have the a similar, you know, tax benefit, which is where you do seller financing. So you act as the lender, the buyer pays you over time with interest. The interest comes as ordinary income tax. The principal is taxed as capital gain, but it's spread out over the life of the loan. And this makes it easier for the buyer to afford the purchase. Now, they're not done. I haven't heard you say that, so maybe they're not asking for that. The other option would be if you had any charitable intent with any of this, you could give a portion of the business away, whatever portion you want, essentially whatever percent you want, to a donor advised fund prior to the sale. And then when you sell it, that percentage would flow into your donor advised fund. It would not be subject to capital gains. And then you could grant it out at whatever, in whatever time frame you want, to whatever nonprofit ministries you want or your church. So that would be another way, but those would probably be the three most common.
Okay. We're definitely going to do the 10%, you know, tithing on it.
Okay.
And the other thing is that we were also considering maybe a reinvestment where we maybe buy some property that we rent or something like that. Would that be something you could turn like that?
Potentially. So for a 1031 exchange, it does have to be. So if your business includes real estate, you may be able to do a 1031 exchange to defer the capital gains by reinvesting the proceeds in another property.
Okay.
So you would need to talk. So you're essentially kicking the can down the road on that portion of it because you're putting it into a like, you know, type property, real estate for real estate. Mm-hmm. And so that would be an option. Eventually you're gonna have to pay the capital gains unless unless it's inherited at death. And then the inheritors get the step up in basis. But apart from that, the 1031 exchange would just kind of kick that down the road. Let me also just circle back to, you said, yeah, we definitely want to tithe on it. So the key there is, yes, if when you make the gift, you're going to get a tax deduction. But what would probably be better for you, just given what you're describing here, is for you to give that 10% of the business away to a donor advised fund before the sale, rather than you selling it and taking the cash and then giving the gift. Because the only way to avoid the capital gains on that 10% you're planning to give away is to essentially give it away prior to the sale of the business. Does that make sense?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Sure. And so then that's excluded from the sale because it's been given away prior to the sale. And the organization you'd want to talk to is the National Christian Foundation at ncfgiving.com. They could tell you how to structure it. It's pretty simple. NCF was founded by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue. It's one of the largest Christian ministries in the world. But they don't develop their own giving strategies. They just help givers like you give in a way that's wise. And so they would help you set it up so that you give away 10% of the company to your donor advised fund at NCF. And then upon the sale, it would be funded. You would not pay capital gains on it. And then you all could give it to your church or wherever you want it to go.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I appreciate your help this morning. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Teresa, all the best to you. Thanks for calling. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Milton. Go ahead. Milton, are you with us? I can hear. There, it looks like we've got you now. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, my question is about 401k. They are rolled over to my IRA. But after that, the bank sent me a check for a remainder balance, but they took taxes out of the check.
Yeah.
So I put the money back into my IRA. So I wanted those taxes. What's going to happen with them? Do I get them back?
Yeah, it's a good question. So since the taxes were withheld, you'll have to declare on your tax return that you did the rollover within the time allowed, which is 60 days. And then the taxes will be refunded to you. But you're going to have to wait until you do your tax return to get that money back.
Oh, my goodness. I already did my taxes. I didn't see any portion.
Did all of this happen in did all this happen in 2024?
Yes, they sent me the check a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And I put it, but yes, it was for money earned in 2024.
Okay. Yes. So if you you need to report that on, did you prepare your own return or did you have somebody do it for you?
No, I do it online.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you want to go back, and if it happened in 2024, then you want to report that taxes were withheld, but they shouldn't have been, and then you'll get a refund. So you need to do an amended return. I hope that helps. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Have your dreams been shattered? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Somebody told me early in my ministry, he said, you know, if you preach to broken hearts, you'll always have an audience. And I don't know what your need is today, but God does His best work in the midst of broken, shattered dreams.
Find real hope in Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We will probably have time to get to one more question before we round out the broadcast today. If you have a question, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. In this segment, we're joined on Mondays by our good friend Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, one of the leaders in faith-based investing. And boy, Bob, a lot to talk about today. Bitcoin soaring after the announcement over the weekend. What do you make of that strategic reserve in crypto?
Yeah, pretty amazing. After a major bout of weakness, probably the biggest bout of weakness in crypto, we've had this now run back up, as you point out, based on the fact that, I'll put it this way, the government is legitimizing crypto and Bitcoin, yeah. Where a lot of people had question marks. So this will continue to be volatile, but for those who own it, a nice up day.
Yeah, no question about it. And I mean, I don't know that it was the Bitcoin piece of this, even though it came in the follow-up tweet, which seems like that's how we set policy these days. But were you surprised to see some of those other names alongside the government's approach here in the U.S.?
Not really. I think that, the government wants to have a blanket, wants to make everybody happy, and so it's putting a pretty big blanket on this possible next steps.
Okay. Bob, obviously tariffs back front and center. You had some really interesting comments in your Dahl's deliberations this week about just how significant the exports for Canada and Mexico are of their own GDP to the U.S. and the impact that may have on each respective country. Share that with us.
Yeah, obviously the U.S. would get hurt by tariffs with Canada and Mexico pushing our prices up, but not nearly as much as Canada and Mexico itself, as you point out. A 25% tariff, which is what the administration is proposing, on Canadian and Mexican goods could cut as much as 8% of GDP off Mexico and 5% Canada. They're real numbers. That's like a significant recession, Rob, as you know. So we'll get hurt, but they'll get killed, as it were.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's set to come here pretty quickly. Do we have kind of a definitive date on that?
Well, like tomorrow.
Is that what it is? Wow.
Yeah, a lot of these, well, there's some things going in tomorrow. This one supposedly, others not until a month from now.
Okay, very good. And I know you have plenty of comments just on the overall health of the U.S. economy and really this challenge, this kind of predicament we're in with regard to slowing growth, but also the potential to reaccelerate inflation. Neither of those are good. Tell us where we find ourselves.
Yeah, the most volatile of GDP estimates, as you probably know, comes from the so-called NOW estimates from the Atlanta Federal Reserve. They, on Friday, took their first quarter estimate for real GDP from +2 to -1. That's a pretty good swing. Exports played a part in that, but it's all these other issues as well. Economic growth is slowing. We've been saying that now for quite some time. Now it's become more visible and more talked about. We'll see how far it goes. First quarter earnings estimates are coming in also as a result of that, Rob. So this is one to watch very carefully.
Yeah. And so, as you see, I know we're not too far away from your predictions for this year, but any material changes? I know it seems like everything's in fast forward these days.
It is. We're feeling, it's early, but we're feeling good about our predictions. The direction for most of them is in our direction. So we feel good about it. But as you point out, things are just fast and furious. It's breathtaking for anybody who has to pay attention to these things. And of course, back to tariffs, it's on today, off tomorrow. So don't take a tweet as the gospel necessarily.
Yes.
It will take time to figure these things out.
Yeah, that's well said, Bob. All right, well, we appreciate your time as always, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. If you want to learn more or sign up for his weekly investment commentary, Dahl's Deliberations, you can do that on their website, crossmarkglobal.com. As we think about, inheritance, and we think about how we should handle leaving money to our kids, one of the questions we get most often, I want to tackle this one today, is really about this idea, is it okay to leave different amounts to my kids? And, this is obviously a challenging one, because with estate planning, it's natural to want to treat our children equally. But Ron Blue shares this really interesting principle that he calls the uniqueness principle. And it says this: love your children equally, but treat them uniquely. And I think we struggle with that, certainly as it comes to a whole host of issues, but certainly in this area of inheritance. I'd love to unpack that for a second. Let me mention, though, we'll perhaps have room for one more question before we round out the broadcast today. So if you have a financial question, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. So with this principle, love your children equally, but treat them uniquely. Here's the idea. Each child is different financially, emotionally, and spiritually. And, over the years, maybe you've thought about and taken into account, or perhaps you should, their individual needs and life circumstances. And I think good stewardship recognizes these differences and allocates resources accordingly. Now, treating children uniquely doesn't necessarily mean favoritism, and that would be a problem if it did, because the Bible warns against that. We can see that clearly in the story of Jacob and Joseph in Genesis 37. However, equal love often requires, I think, unique treatment, because as stewards of God's resources, we're called to manage them wisely, ensuring that our decisions reflect both love and responsibility. You see, a critical aspect of estate planning is considering each child's ability to manage the wealth responsibly. Giving a significant inheritance to a child who struggles with financial discipline could do more harm than good. And I think stewardship, and this is the key idea, stewardship requires us to make decisions not solely based on fairness, but on what's ultimately in their best interest. You see, many parents worry that unequal distributions will cause resentment. The key to avoiding that is communication. It's got to be honest and open conversation while you're alive, and that can help your children understand your reasoning and prevent future conflicts. Now, I realize that can be challenging too, but having that family meeting or those individual conversations are really key here, because it allows you to explain your heart and your thought process, which the idea there is to foster unity and bring clarity at the end of the day. Ultimately, here's what I would say. Wealth transfer needs to reflect God's wisdom, not just human emotions. We are accountable to God for how we allocate his resources. Remember, we say that this is the last stewardship decision that you will make. And so this is a big one. It's a key decision that you need to think about. And factors such as financial need and spiritual maturity and life circumstances, I think, should all be prayerfully considered. So let me just wrap this up by saying, leaving different amounts to your children is not only acceptable, it may be the most loving and wise choice. So we need to apply these principles, and again, with clear communication, we can ensure that our estate plan honors God and blesses our family in the best way possible. By the way, if you'd like to explore this topic a bit further, the resource that I would recommend to you on this is the book Splitting Heirs by Ron Blue. I think it's the best book out there that really tackles this subject. Now, let me finish today where we started, because we began today by talking about carrying debt into retirement. And I think it's important to note that, you know, we're seeing a pretty big shift in this area. We talked about that at the top of the program. And, you know, just when it comes to this whole idea of debt at a high level, here's what I would say. There are some clear rules for borrowing. You know, borrowing is not a sin. We're very clear about that. But, you know, when we borrow, I think we need to heed the counsel and the wisdom of Scripture, starting with the idea that we really should only borrow for economically productive purposes. So the economic cost needs to be less than the potential economic return for the borrowing. That would eliminate all consumer borrowing, because, you know, we certainly wouldn't borrow to go out to dinner. There's no economic return on that in terms of financially speaking. You know, we would borrow for businesses to invest in the company. We would borrow for a home that's appreciating. We would try not to borrow for those things that are depreciating. Secondly, got to have spousal unity. Can't borrow without husband and wife being on the same page. I think third, we need to think about, am I denying God an opportunity to work? You know, should I spread the bills out on the table before I pull out the plastic and say, God, you see the need, we're going to trust you in this. And, you know, we're going to not, you know, fill the gap, so to speak, automatically by just charging it up. And I think that's a key idea. So, you know, think about that. You know, this idea with regard to all borrowing is that debt mortgages the future. And so we just need to be careful there. And we need to make sure that we understand that there are plenty of warnings in Scripture around the use of debt. But there are productive ways to use it. And I think that's what we need to find, just recognizing, you know, ultimately it's about our hearts. What are we doing to align our hearts with God's heart with respect to this really immense and massive responsibility that he's entrusted to us, which is to be a steward of his resources? Our goal each day on this program, to help you do just that. Hey, we couldn't do this without our team each day. So grateful for my producer, Devin Patrick, for our call screener, Sandy Dickinson, and helping me with research today, Mr. Jim Henry, plus the entire team here at Faith Thigh. I hope you have a great day. Lord willing, we'll be back to do it all over again tomorrow. We hope you'll join us then. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.